Welcome to this episode of the Racing Shame Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and today I'm joined with Alex Tran. Thank you for coming on the Racing Shame Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I really wanted to have a conversation with you because you are one of the young adults in your 20s or 30s. How old are you now?
I will be 32 this December, so I am a young adult.
Well, happy birthday. And you just showed so much enthusiasm with how you live out your faith in the marketplace. And I thought that would be a great story to share here on Erasing Shame, because you experienced life as an Asian American and you're not afraid to talk about it. And you've actually really want to give back to the community. And so we just wanted to explore a conversation of how faith shows up in the workplace and how that's led you into becoming a life coach.
Yeah.
Let's start with what you've done in the corporate world, because I've lived all my adult life in the nonprofit space. So what's it been like working in the corporate world and being an Asian American?
Yeah, I'll even go before that to give some context. I am an only child. I grew up with two Vietnamese immigrant parents. So as being an only child, there's obviously a lot of pressure that comes with it. Like, you gotta get a great job, make a lot of money, and, you know, a big focus on security. So actually, growing up, my parents wanted me, which made me want it, to be a doctor or engineer. Come college, took some courses, and I found out that I really don't like this as much as I realized. I took some science classes, specifically physics, and I just thought, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I'm not willing to endure all this. So I actually switched to business, went down that route, and then started off my career in tech. So I've been working in the tech industry for pretty much after college until now, working for startups and also Fortune 500 companies, public companies and private companies as well. So my role is, my job title has been a customer success manager, which is essentially helping corporations and businesses get the most out of the product that we use and to make sure that they renew and just buy more. So I'm primarily in a revenue-based role. So where faith has showed up, I feel like faith has been super important in the corporate space, where there are so many non-Jesus followers out there that we are called to be salt and light. So whenever there's opportunities to mention faith or even to share the gospel, I just take it. Obviously, I'm not... it's not always natural to do that. And there's obviously fear to it as well, being the minority in there. But I feel like we are called to be salt and light. I have so many stories of just sharing faith and people coming back to faith as well, just all across the many years of working. And also being an Asian American, I feel like a minority, but also at the same time, I'm not. In tech companies, there's a lot of Asians. So I do feel like I'm in good company, but at the same time, in the role that I'm in, it's primarily not Asian. So it's primarily white. So I do feel subconscious about that sometimes, especially earlier in my career. But now that I've worked for many years, I just feel like I just fit in. And that has to do with the company culture, the team culture, and everything like that. So now I still work in tech, but most recently, I also started a life coaching business, helping Asians with emotional and mental health to bring them more healing and wholeness. We can get into all that, but that's essentially where I am now.
Well, that's a fantastic run through and overview of what we can like double click and drill down into in your work and faith journey. And I've noticed, I went to seminary 30 years ago, and back then most of the conversation was very focused on theology and spirituality. And then out of left field, it feels like, then work started showing up and how we show up as faithful Christians and Christ followers in the workplace. So you mentioned you have a whole bunch of stories to share. Let's take some time to hear one or two of those stories of when you noticed an opportunity to share about your faith, because it's not like you can pass out tracts or Bible verses while you're working on projects. When did you notice those opportunities, and how would you navigate introducing Jesus into how that makes a difference in your life?
Yeah, I'll share three quick examples from the beginning, middle, and present day of my career. So in the beginning, when I was starting my career, there was a lady who worked, doesn't matter what her job title was, but the important part to know was that I noticed that she was going through some personal struggles and pains in her life. And her husband had was going through cancer. And so my ears just perked up, because I feel like Jesus wants us to pay attention to the pain that's going on around us and just, I don't want to say take advantage of it, but be there to minister and to love people. So that I decided to develop this relationship with this lady, just to know her story, check in on how she's doing with her husband, how she's feeling. And then eventually we got close enough to a point where we started talking about faith, and I brought up my faith as well. And she brought up where she was coming from, in that she felt far from God. She wasn't really plugged into her church for quite a while. But after just having conversations plus this life event, long story short, she did come back to faith, and I started to just help her a bit more, like going to church with her, sending her Bible verses, and just kind of discipling her as well as she's through this struggle in her life. So talked to her since, but where we left off was that she was active in her faith, and her husband unfortunately passed away, but I felt like that brought her closer to faith as well, and closer to Jesus. And seems like where we left off, she's doing great despite the circumstances, and she's close to God. So in that example, I just found an opportunity to really love and minister to someone who was going
beautiful.
Yeah. The second example, it has less to do with sharing the gospel, but more spiritual formation and character development. I worked for a boss that I did not really get along with, and there was just a lot of friction. And for those of you who are listening, I'm sure you have at least one boss in your life that you don't get along well. And so I felt like I was under oppression. It's just what it was. It felt like maybe my boss didn't mean to oppress me or micromanage me, but it just felt that way. But it was like a year period where I was just really struggling with this. I was complaining to my wife like every day about this, and it was a hard time. I literally remember feeling so anxious when we would get into our one-on-ones, and I was sweating and I was just nervous because I didn't know what else, what she was going to say. Was she going to judge me or critique me about something I did? I was reading either 1st or 2nd Peter about being like a servant to those who are above you. I don't know what the specific verse is, but it's in one of the Peters. And my pastor also encouraged me to really serve her. And what I did was send her encouragement notes over a tool that we use called Slack. I would say, hey, great job for doing this specific thing. I really admire how you did this. And I felt that that was a way to bless her, encourage her, but also like open up my heart a little bit more to see her as Jesus would see her. Not as a micromanaging boss, but as a as God's person. And so I did that many, many times, and it really opened up my eyes. So that was an example of just being Jesus when you're under oppression, or what it feels like to be oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the last example was very recent, a few months ago, where we were at a team offsite, and we did a very interesting activity that was just such an open door for the gospel. It was actually sharing our life story and mapping it out with the highs and lows. And I was thinking with God, whether I should do this. Is this a tech company based in San Francisco? How's it going to be received? And I just said, well, there's not really going to be opportunity like this again. So I'm going to just go all in and share my story and incorporate Jesus into there as well as respectfully as possible. Just sharing, because your testimony cannot be argued because it is your experience. And so, yeah, I just walked through my story with my team and shared about Jesus and how much of a difference he's made in my life. And it was definitely a step of faith. And I wish I could say that it was like a revival that happened in the boardroom. But I think for me, it just strengthened my faith more. And I'm sure it planted seeds in their minds.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Alex, you've inspired me every time I've connected with you. And it's hard to bring Jesus with you into the workplace, even as he works and lives in us. And sometimes it's easier for us to just suppress our faith and hide it. It's easier for us to not show up as Asian American and just hide it and blend in. Mm. But yet, when we bring all of ourselves, we actually contribute more to the workplace.
Yeah.
And we don't feel that tension, which is part of what shame is. Shame is hiding. And so when we can show up, we can be the light in the darkness. We can actually contribute more to what work would want from us. And there's a misnomer in work that it's just about tasks, yet we're human beings and we bring our emotions and our mental wellness and our faith. And so when you say that part of your journey as you worked in the corporate place and now you're being stepping out by faith to be a life coach, you want to address dimensions of emotional and mental wellness. So describe how God led you to this new journey. I mean, it's exciting and very scary and mixed emotions and all that.
Yeah, definitely. So the story actually started in 2013 when I gave my life to Jesus. And I always had a heart to shepherd people and to pastor people, maybe not in the formal pastor way, but just caring for people, understanding where they are, where they were, and helping them along in life in general. So that started in 2013. Right before I graduated from college, I was debating whether to go into seminary or be an intern at a church. Even interning at Saddleback Church, where I used to go and DJ currently goes. And I was just praying to God and just discerning. And I felt like God wanted me to be in the marketplace at that time. He didn't want me to go to a church, but he wanted me to reach people who don't know Jesus and who would never step into a church. So I decided to go the corporate route, but I still had this inkling in my mind to somehow be a shepherd or pastor people. I just didn't know exactly what it looked like. And so in about 2015, 2016, I went on my own healing journey. So I hired a life coach. She's a fantastic Christian, on fire, very spirit-led woman. And I looked up to her a lot. And so she had a background in business as well as an entrepreneur. And also she's a coach. Kind of similar to me at this time. And so I thought her experience was very, very cool. And I pretty much hired her. And she's been my coach from 2016, 2015 up until 2023. Some seasons we would see each other more frequently, but other seasons were good. So we didn't see each other that much. But that was really where my journey of coaching and counseling started was receiving it. And in between them, those years, just had a lot of mentors pour into me, pastors pour into me. So all that just to help me in my healing journey. And then this year, I decided that, okay, I really want to do this. I've gotten a lot of value from coaching and I've received a lot of healing, wholeness, and hope out of it. And it just brought so much clarity to my life that, hey, if it's helped me so much, then how much more will it help others? So here, both me and my wife just stepped out of our comfort zone. So she left her full-time job to pursue creating a podcast and eventually an online business. And then for me, I took a step into investing into a program to be trained to be a spirit-led life coach to bring people healing and wholeness. And also how to build a business out of it as well. Fast forward to today, I still feel like I have this calling to help people be set free, to have healing and wholeness. And I was also talking with God to see who do you want me to serve? Like, you don't want me to serve just everyone, right? But maybe to hone down on a specific target group. And I landed on Asians, but I really serve everyone. And you don't have to be Asian to come work with me. But I feel like from a marketing standpoint, that's kind of like my niche. But hey, if you're like white or some other ethnicity, hey, I am happy to see how I can help. And I chose Asians because I feel like, as you know, DJ, mental health is not talked about growing up as an Asian. And there's a lot of shame around it. And I feel like many Asians aren't aware of what they're missing, or even if they need help. A lot of it is just on my own strength. Let me just get through this. Let me figure it out. Don't reveal your emotions. That was kind of the narrative that runs through a lot of Asian families, including mine. So I really want to break the stigma of getting help, and that health is super important. Mental, emotional, spiritual health, they're all holistically integrated, but it's important to get help. And I want to help people reveal the places that they're not, maybe not as whole. And I want to speak into that. I want to help in that as well. So yeah, I just have a heart for that. I know God's given me gifts and talents to do that. And a lot of my clients have said that, oh, I have a gift, which is validation for me. So yeah, that's pretty much my journey to where I am.
Well, let's spend some time and really unpack that, because as I've heard about life coaches offering their services in the past 10 years or so, so much of it is focused on setting goals and personal development and sharpening your skills and competencies in the workplace, because life coaching often primarily is presented as, here's how you can do better in work and earn more money. And I'm old enough to be around when the internet was just dawning onto the horizon, and the Asian American spaces that we connected with people on was places like Zynga and Asian Avenue. And so much of the conversation was just about jobs and advancing in our career and earning more money. And yet you're saying in life coaching, there's so much more that we have to explore and experience healing in when it comes to mental and emotional well-being. How in the world does that make a difference in someone's work?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of coaching, you're right, a lot of coaching is, in general, is very future-focused and goal-oriented, like get this job. Even there's coaches for specific jobs, like how to be an engineer, how to be a product manager. So it's valid there, but I feel like a lot of coaches miss out on the mental, emotional, and spiritual aspect of things, because everything really is very deep rooted. An example is, you are trying to advance your career, but you need to work on just speaking up, for example. Just think, Well, you can, of course, you can do all the tactics of speaking up and presentation skills. All of that is very learnable, but it doesn't quite address the root cause of that. Like, why are you having a hard time speaking up? Is there a fear to it that we need to unroot? And usually there is. And it's usually in your childhood upbringing with your parents. Maybe something like, oh, maybe they said something to you that just rewired your brain in a certain way. So for me, I help identify what those unreasoning problems are really with effects. They have old bodies, they're operating in their child self, at least in the mind, without them knowing. So really long-term in terms of work productivity and really everything else in life has to do with healing from those deep-rooted issues. And that's where you can have long-term sustained success.
Wow, fascinating. So glad you're making those connections, because a lot of our challenges come from the disconnections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's things that we can learn also. So
yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. So glad to hear what you're doing and helping people with that. It's almost the thought that came to mind, just as you've had many years of experience and customer success, you want to turn that towards people success, helping people reach their potential and succeeding in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I help businesses achieve their success, but I noticed that there was a longing in me to help individuals and people achieve success. I feel like that's more gratifying to me than helping a company achieve more efficiency and make more revenue.
Well, tell us about your podcast that you've launched with your wife, dear Grace. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you're using your voice as well to help people.
Yeah, yeah. So our podcast, it's called Let's Unpack That with Alex and Grace. You can find it on all the major platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, podcasts. But we really started it because we felt like Christians wanted to unpack many different topics and nuances of life that's not really talked about in the church or just in life in general that we were wrestling with as well. So it's a living room style conversation, very super casual, where we really unpack different topics and even questions. As of this recording, we just released a podcast episode called How to Respond to Unanswered Prayers. Like, what do you do? Which is a very common, right? I'm sure many of us can relate to unanswered prayers, but we dive into many other topics as well, like financial freedom. How do Christians think about that? Or how do you overcome emotional hurdles, or even LGBTQ, which was one topic that we got a lot of traction on. But things like that, we explore a wide range of topics on there. So we just wanted to digitally disciple the next generation. We target mainly millennials and sometimes Gen Z, but really anyone can listen to it. So yeah, just find us there on any major platform.
Fantastic. Well, Alex, it's been a real joy to connect with you again and to share your story with those of us that watch and listen to the Erasing Shame podcast. And of course, we'll add links in the show notes at erasingshame.com. But for those that are just listening while they're doing laundry or washing dishes or on their commute, go ahead and share your URL for your website for life coaching and your URL for your podcast so they can have a seat of that and remember to subscribe and connect with you.
Yeah. I mean, you can reach out to me on Instagram or TikTok. My handle is @reachalextran. So reach, R-E-A-C-H, Alex, A-L-E-X, Tran, T-R-A-N. And then me and my wife, is withthetrans.com. So there you go. I'll send all the links to DJ.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Alex. Blessing to you.
Awesome.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Erasing Shame Podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame Podcast. Check out the show notes at erasingshame.com and subscribe to our email for updates. We would love to hear from you, so please add your comments at our website or on social. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast app, and you can also subscribe on YouTube or follow on Facebook. Please add a rating and review so we can reach more people with our message of health, hope, and compassion. This podcast is the digital outreach of Christian Asia Mental Health.